men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
It's good to have you in service. You're welcome. Glory to Jesus. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Can you tell someone by your side, good morning? Good morning. Welcome to service, the last Sunday of the month. And the last Sunday of the month is what we call casual service. It's not that the service is casual, but the service we just dress, just bypass all of the protocols and all of the, you understand now, just come. Hallelujah. And I promised you that today I'm going to be continuing the discussion I started on kingdom principles for making relationship and marriage to work. Do you remember? So are you expectant of that? Glory to God. Before we go into that, I want to appreciate every one of us that took time during the week to participate in the fasting and prayers, and then also took time to be available for the general evangelism yesterday. Can we celebrate the Lord? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said celebrate the Lord. Hallelujah. It was a massive time. A lot of people came and were able to cover a lot of area. The seed of the word has been sown, and we are guaranteed and we are assured of the harvest. Glory to God. Look at your neighbor, say, we are assured of the harvest. Tell your neighbor, we are assured of the harvest. I said, tell your neighbor, we are assured of the harvest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this morning is going to be a semi-interactive service. I want you to, we're going to flow along questions and answers concerning the matter of relationship. Is that okay? We're going to flow concerning the matter of relationship. I will just lay a few foundation and then we will go into what we have. Glory to God. So just give me a few moments. I would like to sit down and then we get the service going. Just help me move this thing. Glory to God. Let's just have a brief recap. Now, I mentioned to Ross, okay, for those that are just joining, this is principles, kingdom principles for making marital relationships work. Part 2. Kingdom principles for making marital relationships to work. Now, I was able to establish in the first part of this discussion that one of the greatest principles in the kingdom is the principle of purpose. Purpose is a very important principle in the mind of God. And I made us to understand that purpose is what determines design. Purpose is what determine function, and purpose is what determine challenges. Whatever challenges we meet is always traceable to the purpose that a thing is to accomplish. I used the analogy of the standing fan, that when you look at the standing fan, the reason why it is the way it is because of the purpose it's going to be serving. Are we together now? So I want you to understand that marriage is God's design, and the way he designed it was because of the purpose he wants it to achieve. So if you are going to be getting married, it should be foolish of you to just marry because of customs, because of tradition, because of chronology, because of achievement, or because of niceness. Let me explain these five. These are five reasons you shouldn't marry. You shouldn't marry because it is traditional for you to get married. You must understand that marriage is not compulsory. That's the truth. Marriage is not compulsory. Jesus didn't get married. Paul didn't get married. There are a lot of people who were able to fulfill destiny without getting married. But if you are going to marry, you must marry in the direction of the purpose for which God have ordained marriage. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you don't marry because it is customary. It is traditional. In my village, the men must marry. No, that's not the reason Jesus, God ordained marriage. And number two, you don't marry because you have attained a certain age. That's okay now. I don't pass puberty now. I can marry. No, I don't reach 35 now. I go marry. I don't the hood. No, that's not the purpose for getting married. And marriage is not for us because of you have achieved. You don't get married because of achievements. Is that okay? And then peer pressure. You don't get married because my friends are getting married. You know, that one is very rampant now. People are getting married, or they want to get married. All my friends, my classmates, all of them, don't they marry? I don't know how people get to think that way, but I hardly think about what people are doing. As far as I'm concerned, we are all different. So we can't all achieve the same thing at the same time. Am I communicating? Do we understand what I'm saying? You don't allow peer pressure. People marry because of peer pressure. And then another reason why people marry as a reciprocation for niceness. I call it marrying because of niceness. This man has been very nice to me. This woman has really been nice to me, and I think he has a good character. Let me just marry her. No, that's not the reason for marriage. If you marry as a result of niceness, there's a time the partner will not be as nice as you expect. Are we together now? So we don't get married because of niceness. We don't get married because of peer pressure. We don't marry because of achievement. We don't marry because of chronology, age. We don't get married because of customs and traditions. Glory to God. So I now went on to explain to us, according to Genesis chapter 2, why God ordained marriage. Now, number one reason why God ordained marriage was because of companionship. The man was given an assignment, and then God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. So I'm going to make for him somebody that will be suitable in giving him help, in giving him support, in giving him companionship. So one of the reasons marriage was ordained is so that you can have a woman to support you in carrying out your assignment as a kingdom citizen. That's the reason. It's there in that verse, Genesis 2 verse 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 and then 22 is there. That is why God ordained marriage. He said it is not good for the man to be alone. And before that, in Genesis 2:15, God has given the man an assignment. The Bible says the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to tend, that's responsibility, and to keep. So the man, by design, is a symbol of responsibility. The man, by the way he was created to do a work. And that work, you can call it career, that work, You can call it vocation, that work, you can call it ministry. But in all of it, it is to give glory to God, to attend to the work of God. So we already established that your career is to glorify God. I established that on Thursday, on Sunday, that whatever we are doing it as emissaries, as instruments, as partners of the kingdom. So the way we were created by God in the first place, we are created to be God's vice regent. We are created by God to extend the influence of his kingdom from the spiritual realm to the physical realm. So simply put, we are God on earth. So whatever God wants to do on earth, it's us he uses to do it. If God wants the earth to be a garden kept clean, we are the one God will use. So the man is responsible first to God. Number two, the man is responsible secondly to the assignment. And then number three, the man is responsible thirdly to his partner. We must understand this hierarchy. If we don't understand these things, our marriages won't work. A man's first sense of responsibility is towards his maker. And that's why, as a woman, I wouldn't advise you to marry a man who does not have relationship with his maker. He will not make anything out of the marriage. As a matter of fact, a man won't appreciate the makeup of a woman until he has a relationship with his maker. Because it is his maker that will explain to him, that will reveal to him who the woman is to be in his life. So it is already danger waiting to happen for a lady to marry a man who does not have a relationship with his maker. Are we together now? We must grasp that. It's very, very important. So you must know this, that the man's first responsibility is to his maker. The man's second responsibility is to his work. And please, work in this context is not job, it's not vocation, it's not career. Work is his assignment. What he has been created to accomplish in God's glory revealing agenda. Because Habakkuk 2:14 says, the whole earth shall be filled with the awareness of the glory of God. So we believe that every man is to reveal an aspect of God to his generation. So whether he's revealing it through business, through career, through ministry, wherever aspect is to do that, he must have found it. The man must have found it. And it must make sense to him. You see, as a woman, a man will not appreciate you in his life if you are not contributing to the purpose of God in his life. That's the truth. That's the truth. The primary purpose of marriage is not emotion to satisfy, is emotion to satisfy his sexual urge. No, that's not the reason why God ordained marriage. God ordained marriage so that the man can get help from a woman in carrying out the assignment that God has given to him. Is that okay? Is that okay? Good. So, you must understand that it now becomes a thing of duty for the man to define his assignment, to know what God has called him to do. Now, what do we mean by assignment? We are talking about the portion of God's glory agenda that you are taking responsibility of. If the man is called to bring out the glory of God by raising children who are of godly character, that's his assignment. If he's called to raise disciples, that's an assignment. If he's called to sponsor the kingdom financially, that's an assignment. If he's called to partner with another man to pursue God's purpose, that's an assignment. If he's called to bring the glory of God through academics, he's called to raise the standard of truth in lecturing, called to raise the standard of truth in vocation, in education, in whatever aspect, the assignment must relate to the agenda of God. And the agenda of God is, number one, to extend his influence from the physical realm from the spiritual realm to the physical realm. So a man must understand that he is a representative of God, displaying the character of God, displaying the behaviors of God, displaying the nature of God around wherever he finds himself. Now that's an assignment. And then some men are called to be watchmen. They are called to pray. They are called to be intercessors. So if that's his calling, there's nothing wrong in you as a woman supporting him, because that's who he is. That's what he's going to be giving account for. Now, I told you that without purpose, abuse is inevitable. You must know this, that we shall not give account of how we live our lives. So that's why there's no marriage in heaven. The woman is going to give account for what God has called her to achieve. And the man is going to give account for what God has called him to achieve. So if you marry, but Paul says something that I'd advise you, virgins and young ladies, not to marry, so that you can give attention to the work of God. But if at all you're going to get married, you must give attention to the work of God in the life of your husband. Are you not seeing it now? So as a woman, getting married is you serving God's purpose through your husband. And if you now marry a husband that is not serving any purpose, that is not carrying out any assignments, I wonder what reports you will give to God. So that's that. So what are some of the principles? Let's look at the purpose. If the purpose is companionship, let's look at some of the principles that surround that purpose. There are four reasons God ordained marriage. Number one, companionship. Marriage was ordained for the man to be helped in the company of his wife. Companionship. Number two reason why God ordained marriage is for raising godly kids, raising godly children, raising children that reflect God's character. The children are to be extension of the godliness of the man. So that's why as a man, it would be wrong for you to marry a wife who both of you are not in alignment in terms of God's will, God's ways, and God's patterns. Because if, for example, you are a woman that loves prayer and you marry a man that hates prayer, you cannot produce children that looks like God. Because one of the ways to build up kids is in prayers. So you don't marry a man who hates the things that God loves you to do. For example, you love going to church, you love being available in the company of believers, and you are in a relationship with a man that doesn't like church by any means, you are in the wrong place. Forget it. Say, but sir, he loves me, takes care of me. How can a man love you who does not love God? Are you okay? How can a man who does not know or love God love you? Do you understand what love is? Do you understand that? So you must know that the purpose is that the man should have children that reflects godly character. I said it in the last time. I said, marry a man that looks like the children you want to have, because gene is very powerful. Traits are very powerful. So if you marry a man that is a smoker, if you have five boys, you will be so, don't be so surprised, three of all five will be smokers. You can't take it away, because it's who he is. He will transfer it to his children. So if you marry a man that does not look like God, eventually you will have children that will abuse God. Then number three, God ordained marriage for sexual satisfaction. It is one of the reasons, but it is not the primary. So I know when I said it, I was saying, but Paul said, if you cannot keep yourself, get married. Yes, it's part of it. Sexual satisfaction. Marriage was ordained for sexual satisfaction. Paul said it, that it is not good for a man to burn. That it is better to marry than to what? Than to burn. Because God puts in you a system that gives birth, a reproductive system. And at some point, you will need to get satisfaction. So God now said, okay, I'll give you a wife. And then she will satisfy you. You will be intimate and then you'll get satisfaction. Glory to God. And then number four, marriage is the model of the relationship that God has with the church. The relationship that God has with a church. 1 Corinthians 7:9. If they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So one of the reasons for marriage is to satisfy your sexual desires. That's why a man must not deprive the wife of sex, and a woman must not deprive the husband of sex. Glory to God. Now, when you put all this together, there are principles that we must now embrace. So let's look at some of the principles. Principle number one is the principle of purpose and assignment. Don't marry outside purpose. Don't marry outside assignment. I beg you, don't marry outside purpose. I'm begging you. Please, as a young woman, as a young man, I expect that before you become 20 or before you become 22, please find out God's purpose for your life. Fast and pray for it. Don't wait until you are 40. Don't wait until you are 30. If you are listening to me, you have not discovered the purpose of God for your life. Go and fast and pray for it. If you marry without finding out what you are going to be doing for life, you will carry the wrong woman into your life. You will struggle. That's why marriage is not reward for niceness. Find out, what am I called to do? If God has called me to express His glory, to reveal His glory by running a school, bringing children to the knowledge of God, bringing truth through the academic platform, if you have find that that's your assignment, pray for a woman that will support it. Not a woman that will come and say, I hate teaching. No, hey, children, I hate it. You will struggle because she can't support you. Our instincts are always tied to those areas we have interest. Our genuineness is always connected to our natural composition. A fish will not struggle to swim because that is its natural configuration. So if you have an assignment, for example, you are called to be a preacher, and then you are forcing the girl to marry you and she's telling you, I don't like preachers, I don't like pastors. If you get married, it will frustrate you. You see, one mistake people make is that we try to play God. And when we marry, she will change. When I love her, she will change. You are deceiving yourself. Why not marry somebody that have already changed? So that the time you'll be spending to change her, you'll be using it to do the assignment. Principle number one is the principle of assignment and of purpose and assignment. Purpose is the reason why you are living. Assignment is the structure you have put in place to live out the life. What you have put in place, how you are going about it, that is the assignment. And you will need the woman in carrying that assignment because that's where she will be providing help for you. Is that okay? So principle number one is the principle of assignment and purpose and assignment. Principle number two is the principle of connection. The principle of connection. You see, I've realized that a lot of people already starts falling in love with a guy or falling in love with a lady before they realize that it can't work. How should you, okay, if there is a word, I don't know if there's a word like fall in love in the Bible, but since we know it relates to what we are saying, how should you even fall in love in the first place? It now goes back to the principle of relationship. So that's what we are talking about now. The principle of connection. The word relationship means connection. And I came to realize that how we connect to people, how we connect with people, will determine how we will choose who we marry. Because it is through connections that we will establish relationships. That will establish courtship and all of those. So, relationship simply means connecting with someone. That's the word relationship. The meaning of the word relationship means to connect with someone. So, it means that before we start connecting with people intimately, closely, there are principles we must not ignore. We call it the principles of connection. And in that principles, we have several laws. Number one is what we call the laws or the law of common interest. Don't connect with people who you both do not share similar interests. Because if I'm going to have a partner, it will come out from my friends or somebody I've met. Glory to God. Are we together? If you are going to be picking a wife, you know, let's say you are picking a wife from your kindred, you are connected. There's something that connects you. But we are saying that you can determine the connection. So in determining the connection, don't connect with people you don't have interest with. Someone wrote something and it's the truth. He said your colleague is not your friend. Your neighbor is not your friend. Your classmate is not your friend. When you don't understand the principle of connection, you will put the wrong people into your life. And that's why people fall in love with wrong people. Okay, because you both read together in class, you are falling in love. It doesn't work that way. I have found that my assignment, and I should surround myself with people that are interested in my assignment. So that if it is time for me to choose who to marry, it will be easy. The principle of connection states that you must be able to define interests when you relate with people. You shouldn't become too close with people who are not interested in what you are interested in. I mean, things that are of value, of high interest to you. Let's take, for example, you are very passionate about, music. You believe that God has empowered you or graced you to bless lives through music. And then you are relating with someone who doesn't like music at all. And the genre of music you are even into, he's in it. That all these church people that are just singing, they'll close their hand, they are crying. What are they even crying for? And that's the kind of person you are falling in love with. Sometimes the way ladies fall in love is very amazing. And you are asking yourself, what are they actually falling in love with? Because I don't think you should fall in love with a guy's appearance, a guy's size, a guy's height. Those things are agents of attraction. Love is a choice. You decide who you should be intimate with. You decide who you should even invite to your house. You decide who you should give your phone number to. You just see someone that is looking like a riff rat, sagging his trouser to fall, and then carrying hair, and then talking as if he's an agbero, and he's saying, baby girl, you are fine, you are good, this is how, can I meet you again, can I get your number? And you too, you are giving him your number. You are bringing people to your life that don't look like where your life is going to. So where a number of us are missing it in our choice of who to marry is even the kind of people we bring into our life. We have sets and bunch of confusionists around us. That's why we are confused. So we are falling in love confusionately. There's a word like that. That's the starting point. Build a system around you. Yeah, people say you are too selective. It's for your destiny. You don't need a crowd in your life. You don't need a crowd in your life. That's why we have people that are so crowded and heartbroken. They have been served so much breakfast because they have crowd of people that are going nowhere in their life. it will be very easy for you to make the choice of who to marry when you have people of common interest. So the law of connection says that don't connect with people who are not in the same level of interest. The line of interest are not the same. How can you say you are a believer, you love God, you believe that you have been called to extend His kingdom, bring awareness of His glory, and you are telling me your best friend is an unbeliever? He's my bestie. And I know he's not a Christian, doesn't come to church, but he's my bestie. Are you okay? The Bible says, be not deceived, for evil communication corrupts good manner. The law of connection says that you will be corrupted by the kind of people you carry into your life. Influences are real. They are real. So your neighbor is not your friend. Your classmate is not your friend. Because he's only in school to come and learn. You are in school to come and develop yourself. But beyond school, there is a purpose you are to live for. So, under the law of connection, the second law, I think, is the law of shared values. How do you pick friends? Interest, number one. That's what I'm trying to say. So, people are asking me, how do I choose friends? How do I know who should be my friends? Number one, interest. I make friends with people that we share the same interest, but that's not alone, because it's a principle, and in every principle there are systems that makes it work. If you get one right and you didn't get the other right, it will not work. So interest is not okay. The next is what? Values. Somebody is interested in music, but he lies, so that person can't come close to you. That's what we are saying. It's not enough to say, that guy can sing, I like him a lot, and then you are rolling with him. But then this guy, he can fabulize, he can lie. It doesn't work, because lying is not consistent with the values that you have been raised up with. Glory to God. So what do we mean by values? Values talks about those things we hold dear. The word values refer to those things we don't compromise. For example, you have value for the anointing, for men of God. You can easily delete some friends out of your life. Life is not by crowd. How can you, every time we come, you're always insulting pastors? Pastors, they are just collecting our money. Pastors, they are just pretending. Pastors, and the person is your bestie. And you claim that you have value for your assignment. Can't you see that you are in the wrong place? You see, if we understand the principles of connection, there are some people that will not even bring close to our lives. And the truth is this. Why are we talking about the principle of connection? If you want to get married, you almost obviously get married to those that are what? Closely connected to you. You will not marry a stranger now. You're going to marry a stranger. So the principle of converting a stranger into a friend is what I'm teaching you now. We must share similar interests. Number two, we must uphold the same values. That's the principles, the law of what? Shared values. Okay, common interests, shared values. Is that okay? Is that okay? Under the principle of what? Connection. So number one, we must have the same interest. Where I'm going must be, he must be interested. Is that okay? You meet someone and like, the church I attend, I love what they do there. They make us learn ministry. Wow, that's interesting. I like that kind of church. Can we go together? You see it now. You see, when we understand how to choose friends, we will be able to easily move our friends into intimacy. It's going to be easy. You see, the reason why a number of us tend to make mistakes is because we put our emotions ahead. I like that guy. I like him. That's wrong. That statement is wrong. You shouldn't make that statement. What do you like about the guy? That's the important thing. Because anything can be liked. It's just a fancy, it's infatuation. So don't be saying, I like that lady, like is just, in fact, Bible says we should love everybody. It's in scriptures. He said, no man nothing but what? But love. And love is even superior to like. But even though we are to love everybody, we are to like everybody, we cannot move together. Why? Who your brother can marry may not be who you can marry. Because the next principle we're going to be looking at, okay, that's principle number four. Principle number three is principle of connection. Principle number four is principle of communication. Principle number four is principle of compatibility. And all of these will still come back to the law of connection. Because what irritates you shouldn't be compatible with you. Glory to God. Are we following? So let's look at the principle of connection. Rule number one is the law of what? Law of common interest. Not force person to like what you like. Make the person like him. Be attracted to the fact that the person like what you like. That's what we are saying. What should wow you about who you want to choose as a partner should be the fact that he really likes what you like. This thing will be very easy. It will be easy. But you see, like I said, emotions, feelings, and traditions just mumble everything up. We just like people anyhow because they're always visiting us in the room. And the guys start caring for you and giving you money. Likeness start coming out. As if your likeness is monetized. The guy is always calling you every morning to greet you. Likeness has started coming. So it's phone call that stirs up your likeness. All of these shouldn't be what trigger our interest. We should be able to see it as normal. For a guy to call you, to greet you, see it as what? Normalize it. If you start reading meaning to it, emotion will start running like generator. Am I communicating? We should see some things as what? As normal. I mean, if someone cares about you, is a friend, meets you, we're colleagues, even neighbors. If your neighbor didn't see you 2 days, your neighbor should be able to call you. Alpha, Daniel, where have you been? I've not been seeing you around. It's normal. These things should be normal. But when we start reading meaning to all these things, our emotions start flare. Fire will just start burning, and you are waiting for him to ask you out. Did he tell you that all this while he's been calling, he wants to ask you out? Wait. And even if that's what is in your mind, be observing him. So that when he asks you out, you ask him back. When he asks you out, you ask him back. And why are you asking me out? Amen. So, principle of connection. Rule number one, common interests. Rule number two, shared values. And rule number three, could call it mutual understanding. Mutual understanding. You see, connection is not complete until understanding is complete. Don't fall in love with someone that does not understand you. Because the whole idea behind connection is that we relate. So the principle of connection is saying, even if I did not talk, he knows why I did not talk. Understanding. So say with me, understanding. Say with me, understanding. You see, anybody that finds it difficult to understand people, we have issues with relationship and marriage. And that's why, if you really want to make marriage work, you must be selfless. Because it takes a loss most times of self to understand people. Because if you are selfish, you always interpret things from the lens of your own interest. And I did not say individual interest. I said common interest. So if the law of common interest says that we are interested in same thing, it cannot be complete if our understanding are divergent. if we don't understand things similarly, if the algorithms are not the same, the rhythms of life cannot be the same. That's the whole idea behind debugging in computer. If you use a language that the system is not programmed to receive, it will make you start misbehaving. The app will start misbehaving. The reason why it appears as though some relationships are misbehaving is because they are not communicating. Understanding is not being gotten. They don't understand themselves. They don't understand themselves. And if you are going to be getting married, marry a partner that understands you. That when you are not talking, he knows why you are not talking. Is that okay? Glory to God. And that's where it becomes a part of the principle of what? Connection. Don't connect with people who finds it difficult to understand people. And it's very simple to know. How someone treats others around you. How someone treats people around you. How he behaves. That's who he is. If he's not getting close to you and he's trying to change, he's trying to adjust to accept or adopt you. That's what he's doing. He's pretending. We call it pretense. If a guy is trying to change or adjust to adopt you, it's pretense. When he has gotten you, he will go back to his real self. So don't connect with him based on how he's only relating with you. Connect with him based on how he talks about people, how he responds to issues. Because when I don't marry, na issues na go dey handle. Abi? Is it not? You will be handling issues. Because don't forget, marriage is for work. And work has a lot of issues. There are a lot of complexities. There are people involved. You'll be dealing with characters. His family members, your family members, your staff in the office, the business. You'll be dealing with people. And if you don't understand your partner, it will affect whatever he wants to achieve. So understanding is very, very, very important. Mutual understanding. Meaning that it is safer to marry someone who you understand and who understands you. All three laws must be in place. Don't compromise one for the other. Look at your neighbor. Say, don't compromise one for the other. The fact is that he understands me, but sometimes some things he wants to do, I don't even understand how he's doing them. Allah is there. That's why it's a work. Marriage is a work. Because we must begin to check the values. It may not be all, but at least your top three values must be resonated by your partner. Everybody say your top three values must be resonated by your partner. Is that okay? Your top three. For example, if you are the kind of person that likes sincerity, like for me, my top three values in life are honesty, sincerity, and that's one, integrity. If integrity is number one, then sincerity and honesty. Openness. These are things you don't compromise. So I don't. That's why, if you are a kind of person that is not open, we won't be close. It's very normal. That's just me. If you are this type that we won't. It's not nothing will draw me to you. Even if we try, we can't be close. Because for me, since openness is sincerity is high. Is high. Is very high. And that's why if I'm going to get close to you, one of the first things I want to check is how sincere you are. And then you are with a partner who is not sincere. And let me tell you something. Thank you, Lord. If you know your values, the next question I'm going to ask you is value detection. Value detection. You need to learn value detection. Value detection. Because if I'm going to, I want to marry someone that is sincere, I must be able to know how to detect sincerity. That's why the whole idea about marriage is not feelings and emotions. Please put that in somewhere in your back pocket, so that when you go and use toilet, it can fall into the latrine. It's not all these feelings and emotions, they are just things that will come up when you have entered into the real business. You must have a value detecting system. For example, I'll share with someone. I said, if I stay with someone for a day who is open, who is sincere, I will know. It's not hard. It's not hard. It's my value. I've spent years developing it as a value now. So if you say someone is pretending, you come and meet me and say, this person, sir, you don't know this person, I will keep you. That I don't talk doesn't mean I do not know. We have instincts. That's why if you are going to get married, you must develop yourself. When you say develop yourself, it's not to go and learn how to operate POS or learn how to press sewing machine. That's what people are going to do now. What are you bringing into the table? I want to marry. I want to be an industry wife. I don't want my husband to always be the one paying the bill. Sister, calm down. That's not your first role as a wife. Have you learned how to determine if a man is sincere? I bet you there are some people you can be lying to. They will not know you are lying to them. They are so daft. Sorry to use that word. They will not know. Honestly, they will not know. Because to them, it doesn't matter. As he comes, he likes me, touch my head and all. It's okay. And then you marry him and then you realize that what you ordered versus what you got. You have to be serious with your life. All this raw kakiri that you are doing, calm down and go and learn how to detect values. Integrity is a value. Someone said, I went to a seminar and the person said, I want to marry a God-fearing man. I said, oh yeah, sit down. Let's talk. Give me 5 ways you can detect a God-fearing man. She was looking at me. Yes. A lot of us say that. I want to marry a man that fears God. Okay, how do you know a man that fears God? Speak in tongues. Pray very well. Read Bible. Come to church. He's very committed to church. He's always come to church. It's all right, Okario. There are ways to detect values. Because when you know someone values, understanding will be easier. You see, this thing called understanding comes from interest and values. As a matter of fact, allow me to plot the equation. Interest plus values equal understanding. If I know that my partner cannot steal my money, if I'm looking for money and he's like this money, I can't say it's my wife that stole it. My wife cannot steal. If she wants to pick my money, she'll tell me she's picking it. I cannot do anything. She will say it. But for her to go somewhere and check and pick, he can't do it. So if she comes and then we are talking about, I said, okay, I'm looking for this amount, and she's saying, I will see it. That should be, if it's in the room, I will see it. I will easily understand. But if a part of me is suspecting her that she's the one that took it, and she says, we will see it, my response will not emit understanding. You are saying we will see it. I will not see it. That might be my response. The reason is because something else is in what? In my mind. And most of the things we have in our mind about our partner is either traceable to our partner's interest or our partner's what? Value. You understand now? For example, if you have a kind of partner that really loves watching ball, as in likes football to the core, and then you both are supposed to meet around 3 to go and visit someone, and he did not know that Arsenal is having match by 3, and you don't like ball. You understand now? You don't like ball. You don't like football. In fact, anytime he talks about football, you're always angry. Now you both are to meet by 3. He did not know Arsenal match is by 3. So two problem. Number one, you don't like ball. Number two, you don't like someone disappointing your appointment. Now, three is the appointment, three is the ball. He must now have to choose between you and the ball. And then unfortunately for him, he is a kind of person that is not sincere. So he will just sit down and think, ah, what will I do now? Okay, what will happen is that I'll turn off my phone. And when the match finishes, I will on it. And if she calls me, I'll say no light. Maybe everybody for fun, don't say light, nothing. You see now. Now this is interest plus value playing out here. So now if interest and values are in line, what stops him? Ah, Alpha. Babe, Alpha, what happened? Ah, sorry, you see that 3 o'clock appointment. No fit one. No. She you know say Arsenal they play match. And we must win this league this season. No. So and you know, if that's why interest is important, you see, these things we look at it and throw our eyes away. But how do you be in a relationship with someone you are not interested in what the person like? Are you getting what I'm saying? My wife not even liked football before. But if you like football, you can't go to go support Arsenal, me and be man, you go get problem. Amen. Just the way Minister Frank has colonized the wife into Arsenal. The two of them are strong Arsenal fan. You pass now JC for Joshua and you see, some of us, we look at these things and we think they are not important. They are just play. See, don't joke with things that you are interested in. You don't allow your partner to make a sarcastic statement about something. This is your interest. Because along the line, we all have what we are interested in. I get what I'm saying. We all have what we are interested in. It's now that most times I use my phone to watch ball. There was a time that, see, I can leave the house 9 o'clock to go and watch ball. My wife will be looking at me like this. I'm going. Hello? And normally she doesn't like ninth movements. But you don't get choice. So. Because if we dare not follow you talk. How am I you go to score Barcelona 2-0 and I go there they follow you gist? My mind, the thing go the all the brothers that like football in the air say amen. I they be. It's not the. Is that Frank is laughing? Even that time I'm watching the ball self, anything you are talking, I'm not hearing. Especially if they don't score my 1-0. And because there is how your partner feels when you are interested in what he is interested in. Just imagine, say, man, you play Champions League semi-final, one leg into the final. They play with Arsenal. Arsenal can't beat Man U. I can't they come out. My wife can't see. My wife can't they tell me, say, ah. Say, Shebi, I tell you. Now, Man U, they go support. After we don't talk down and finish, because say, ah, tomorrow, if the Dominion don't bring exercise book, they're not going to enter class. So we go carry the lose when man you lose enter that matter. You see, there's how life runs. You say it's, I'm transferring aggression. Man, not transfer aggression before. One leg into final, Chelsea beats me. You they laugh me because they ask for exercise book. You go collect the exercise book for Chelsea handle. Amen. And that's how it is in almost every area of life. But somehow, because some of us are selfish, or some of us don't understand the place of interest, it's always your way. It must always be your way, your way, your way. No. No. I mean, sometimes you can even go to the market. My partner likes Real Madrid. And see one fine Real Madrid JC and buy it for him. That alone, you don't know what he's going to do for the best body. That's why interest. You know, when we're talking about interest, we're not just talking about, yes, their primary interest, their secondary interest, and then their general interest. Primary interest is their assignment, yes. But you cannot be interested in my work and not interested in my pleasure. Because it is work and pleasure that makes, they said, all work and no play make Jack a very naughty boy. It's not only dull and naughty. So I don't want a partner who is only interested in my work and not interested in my what? In my pleasure. Just imagine, say you like PS4. Your wife hates game. I will get a problem. PS4 is over 300,000, be 200,000. She go look you, say, guy, money you are supposed to use to buy hair for me, me to use it and buy PS4. Come and play it in this house. You see, most of us don't realize that some of the things that are causing problem in marriage, they are very little things. And that's why the mutuality of interest and in the sharing of values equates understanding. So if I know that this is what my partner likes and this is what my partner stands for, I don't even need to play. Don't play any play and carry sarcasm to that area. Are you understand what I'm saying? You have to support that area if you want things to work well. So even if you don't like it, you have to like it though. You don't get choice. You have to like it. And if you cannot like it, don't disturb the fact that he like it. Amen. Just like as my wife is, the only time I sit down to watch ball was Nigeria. I don't know if you knew the day, if he was even asking which one is Nigeria. Because anything football, you know. Okay, it's Regina. Okay, you know Nigeria. You know color now, so you know Nigeria was green. Okay, it was Regina that did not know was Nigeria. It's true. All of them, all these, they don't even know anything about football. Yeah. And then movies. There are people like movies. Glory to God. So, those three principles on that connection, please don't joke with them. As you are connecting with someone, these are things you should try to know about the person, so that the person will not like something that you hate. Is that okay? It's just like some ladies, they have sworn that they will never marry a policeman. And then you are dating a guy that is already planning that after his HND, he's going to collect a form. He has not told you, because some people keep their plan to their chest. Yeah. So that's why when you are in relationship, what kind of conversations are you supposed to have? These are the conversations you should have. Not hello, have you eaten today? What did you eat? No, you know, most of you are in relationship. You just, these are the conversations you should have. What are your values? And you check it. Some people have theory, they don't have practical. You check it in their. There are some men that don't joke with excellence. So let's look at principle of communication. Principle of communication talks about how we are able to express our interest, how we are able to express our values, and how we are able to develop understanding. That is the principle on which communication is built. Is that okay? So communication is saying expression, how we express ourselves, how someone expresses himself. You see, one thing about me, communication, I'm very loud on communication. I there are some people, they use mood to express how they are feeling. There are some people, they do silent treatment. When you offend them, they don't greet you in the morning. No, it doesn't. Those things are not, they will not help you in relationship. They are bad character. Stop it. It's bad character. It's bad character. Don't, if someone does something to you, talk about it. Don't allow it spill to another thing. Okay, because he went to work, he did not call you, and when he come back, he go come see food when he go chop. Those ones are different. We must learn the principle of communication. The principle of communication is built on the law of expression. Your spouse is not only spirit. Can't you see that I'm feeling headache? How can I see it? Am I a doctor? Even doctor self will even ask you, how is it doing you? Which part of the head? You see, women, carry hand for them. I respect them. Are very strong people. Maybe you did not know, as I did not call you, I did not have credits. How did, for crying out loud, am I empty? And when you respond that way, say, how will I know, am I? The next day they will say, did you send me credit before? On top, say, you know, call me. Relationship is not for the feeble-minded, though. As women, they are lovely set of people, and that's why you see you men just because you can speak English and you have money, you want to marry. English and money will not bring you a woman the best of. Women, they are a bunch of complexities. You need the wisdom and grace of God to be able to unravel them. That's why you must learn how to communicate. Is that okay? So the principle of communication, it's on it. There is also the aspect of understanding. But you must be able to study your partner. Understand your partner's language. You know, the first thing about communication is language. Language. Is that okay? Language. Another thing is, under the principle of communication, content. Content. The laws under the principle of communication talks about language, talks about content. Content. And then talks about mannerism. All these are under communication. Mannerism. You see, nagging is always the result of a poor communication system. When a woman begins to nag, it's because one, either she doesn't have a partner that listens to her. So let's put it number four, law of reception. Reception. How you receive what another person says. And that one is very deep. Because some people, most of what they hear is always from the residue of the past guy they dated. So some things you are saying is sounding like Maxwell that did not do well. You understand? So they are not angry with you because you said something that they did not like. They are angry because you sounded like the last guy that broke their heart. So that's why empathy, the principle of empathy is also essential in communication. Let me summarize what I'm saying. Don't say words to your partner that you will regret later. And don't volunteer information at certain level of relationship that will jeopardize the future of the relationship. So let's bring out, I've listed about four rules under communication. The first one, let me explain the first one, is what? Language. When we're talking about language, we are not talking about Yoruba, Hausa, or Igbo. We are talking about trying to listen to your partner, to know some of the things that your partner already have, the experiences, the trainings, the dealings. And that's why I encourage you, when you are just meeting someone the first time, ask direct questions, especially for you to move someone close. For me, it's a principle. You don't just get close to me arbitrarily. If I want to start having time for you, I ask you direct questions. I ask you, okay, what about your experiences in life? How has life been to you? What's happening? And if you are not free to tell me, we can't even relate, because sincerity must come first. And how do I measure sincerity? The things you tell me at the relationship, when we are communicating. I'm not talking about marital relationship now. I'm talking about general relationship. If I start getting close to you, I will ask you questions. I want to know your background. I want to know your dealings. I want to know your exposures. Because those things will make me know some of the languages that have been stored in your what? In your head. For example, if you say, okay, I've stayed with worry people before. In fact, when we're in Akure, or when we're in Benin, when we're in Lokoja, we have some worry guys. Okay, I'm interested. Because I'm from worry, isn't it? I want to know the things that have been stored in your mind about worry guys. So that in my dealing with you, I want to know, either I want to disprove it, or I want to just be myself. Are we understanding now? Are we at all? We're talking more about relationship now. So you check, what are the languages? That's why it's important when you meet someone, you want to know, okay, is he into business? Is he into medicine? These are things we shouldn't just ignore. Because all of these systems have programmed some what? Languages into them. Are we together? Are we okay with that? Then content. So based on, I've been able to understand your exposures, I've been able to understand your dealings, I can now be able to know some things you carry. This guy must be very good though, for him to have been. Or I can be able to say, she must have really gone through a lot too. You said you didn't stay with your mom, you didn't stay with your dad, so you must have gone through a lot. Coping with your uncles and aunties, how was it? It was not really easy. You know, you are because certain environment triggers certain experiences. These are things we talk about. All your own is, since this guy started showing interest in you, item 7, Chicken Republic. And you just go there, snap picture. You are even talking with him, you are pressing phone. Guy, I'm talking to your friend. Babe, this year, if you see the things the guy ordered for me, this place makes sense, though. I'm pressing phone, he's talking, how are you? You just talk surface, and then you drink and go. No, that's what people do. That's why you see that a lot of relationships these days are just dysfunctionally dysfunctional. There's no seriousness in. And then you that has been trained to be serious, you're asking, is it, girl, you are too serious, losing up a little. I cannot loosen up. I'm only permitted to loosen up for my husband. So if I'm not validating you as one that is a potential husband, why should I loosen up? And that's the reason why a lot of young ladies have loosened up to the wrong people, and now they cannot tie themselves back. Because every guy that comes says you are too serious. And you don't want to be too serious. Now you have loose. And the loose you have loose now, the thread to tie you back is very expensive. And it does serve you breakfast now. Your heart has tear. Break and lose not be the same thing, no. Break. Sometimes something break to patch on the heart. If he lose, maybe I will give up your man. Value will help me stitch it. See your heart now. Nobody can stitch it. On top, losing. Babe, you are too serious. Losing. You've lose now. From lose now, your heart's break. See, we must understand that the people that comes into our lives will affect our lives. Any guy you give your phone number to can affect your life. Every girl you give your phone number to can affect your life. So you build the systems around your life where you define the kind of people that should come into your space. Not be every of your classmates should know your house. He don't peep, find and say you they stay there. One day just knock your door. Unannounced, uninvited. and you are laughing. Ah, thank you for coming around. This is laugh, thank. But when he's leaving, remind him that, you see, because you don't really know me, I appreciate the fact that you care. But next time, if you are coming to my house, don't come unannounced. Add that clause, Abby, to it. You see, values, if we don't communicate our values, because we're talking about content, what do we talk about in communication? We communicate our interests. I don't like this. Don't be ashamed to say it. I like this. Say it. I stand for this. Say it. I don't stand for this. Say it. I understand this. Say it. I don't understand this. Say it. That is the content. Mannerism talks about gestures. Gestures. Communication. You see, as a young guy, I know you like hug. You like hugging people, but it's not every lady that you should give attempt to hug. There are gestures that some people, mannerisms, they don't appreciate. There are some people they don't like when you are talking. You are touching them. So people, they are talking, before they will talk to, they don't touch you. Before they will talk three, they don't touch you. I'm not talking about the other kind of touch. I mean, just touch, touch. They are very touchy. You just touch your hand, touch you, touch your head. Because some of these things communicate, some people receive it wrongly. Am I correct? They are all communication. So you don't just touch people or just calm down. Then perception and reception. You must be able to allow time to study people, what they have been through, their past experiences. And so let me round up with this so that I can take one or two questions. The principle of compatibility. Now, everything I have said, the principle of compatibility states that if you have discovered yourself patiently, prayerfully, look for a partner that can fit into the measure. That's what the principle of compatibility is. So in communication, these are some of the things you are talking about. Do you know that to as far as wanting to have a wedding, and have a small wedding, it can be a problem in relationship. There are some people, they are the first daughter in their family. And in their family and extended family, nobody have ever done wedding. And now you are a guy that all your growing up, one thing you don't want to do is wedding. And unfortunately, you are a first lady in Igbo, they call them Ada. That's, in fact, right from where she was 13 years, she has been preparing for how her wedding will look like. That can be an issue. If not properly spoken about. And you as a lady, don't just come and be making noise. You should be able to understand now. Shebi, I'm at that. No, calm down. You don't know where it is coming from. That's where compatibility comes in. And these are things we talk about. Sometimes we would have built. So, 5 years relationship can even break on account of this thing we are talking about. And that's why in relationship, there is nothing that is too big to talk about. There's nothing that's too big to talk about. And that's where understanding now what comes in. Okay, maybe I'm even unreasonable. There's no problem. Ashebi is for her. Let's do the lavish marriage. Huh? I can compromise under the principle of compatibility. There's a principle of intention. This is what I want. This is why I want it. There's also the principle of compromise. I can shift ground to accommodate her interest. Are we understanding compatibility? Compatibility is saying that in all of these, we can still what? Shift ground, because we are what? We are humans. But we must not shift ground on the major. But there are some things we can shift ground. Is that okay? I've always desired that my wife must go to school until she gets to PhD. Some men are like that. That's their dream wife. That's who they want their wife to be. They want to proud about their wife. And then you are the kind of person that are like, school. Oh, if I feel doing shame this self, I'll try. Yeah. You see, young ladies and young men, please communicate and be very, very principled. Emotions does not last. Talk about anything. Put your relationship into accountability. Some things that you can't tell your spouse or ask, your accountability system will make it clear. Marriage is not hide and seek. It's not secret court. There are some people that have dated like 4 or 5 guys. Nobody knows they ever dated those guys. It's just my friend. It's just my friend. That's what they were telling. How can you be in a relationship? Nobody's aware. Do you know what heartbreak can do to your life? Come into school and because you are free, I just need a guy to keep me company. Don't live your life like that. Every heartbreak will never leave you the same. It will never leave you the same. The more heartbreak you have had as a woman, I don't know, but it will not be so easy for you to have a good marriage. Because the residues of those heartbreak, if they are not healed, you don't know what it is to heal from even one heartbreak. I mean, some people's heart has been broken to the point that their heart has become a bido shaker. Since they shake their heart. Don't break and now. Their heart don't quick. And the truth is this. If you marry that kind of woman, emotions are necessary. If you marry a woman that does not have empathy, do you know that heartbreak kills your capacity to empathize? It kills each time your heart is broken, it reduces your womanhood. Because there is a vulnerability that a woman must have. A woman must be vulnerable because she was created to be protected. But what heartbreak does is that it will make you want to develop a system to shut out that vulnerability. And once that vulnerability is shut out, you'll be a man in the marriage. And the marriage may not work. Because a woman must be fragile. The Bible calls them the weaker vessel. So you have the tendency of being heartbroken. Even if you're not in a relationship with somebody, by just liking a guy from afar, can you break your heart? That's how fragile your heart is. Am I lying? So protect it. Amen. Let's celebrate the Lord. So, question. Question. Raise your hand if you have a question. Get us 3 mics. Okay, I'll just take these 4. Taking just 4. So let's start from Mercy. So 2, 3, 4. Make your question direct. Please make it very snappy.
Yes, sir. I have 2 questions here. I wrote them down. So when you were talking about concerning the man's sense of responsibility. He has them towards God, his assignment, and his partner. Now, is it that God did not give the woman an assignment to? You said the woman is here to help the man to carry out his own assignment. Is it that the woman does not have her own assignment too? Then secondly, while you were talking about this content under the principle that guides marriage, under communication, you said as a lady, when you are in a relationship with someone or you are starting, you share your experiences. You gave an example of a worried guy like telling me about my experience with a worry guy. So for example, let me say that this worry guy that I dated, he broke my heart, he slept with me, he shattered and battered me, he messed with my emotions. Should I now tell you? And before, in the former message, you mentioned that as a lady, we should not tell, coming into the relationship, we should not tell a guy our past, telling them what we have experienced. But now you mentioned it again that what we've experienced with a worry guy just because you are a worry person. So what should we do in that kind of situation?
God bless you. Let's celebrate God for her. I'll start from the second question. Now, I was talking about principle of relationship, marital relationships. Now, there are levels of relationship. There are levels. And what I was talking about is at the point of acquaintance. You see, when you meet somebody, before you bring the person close, there are certain questions, observations you must have. In fact, I can meet somebody today and be able to know where the... If for example, the person tells me, I'm from so-so-so place, and I've met someone from that place, I will say it immediately, that I grew up there, or that's where one of my aunties stays. But at that point, I will not go into details. I only use that information to be able to... As it's part of acquainting. There are four levels of relationship. The first level of relationship is acquaintance. That is when you just meet people. The second level of relationship is the relationship, is the level of what? Friends. When you are becoming friendly with somebody. And the point where you are becoming friendly with somebody, there are so many things about you the person does not even know. In fact, most of the things that your friends should know are things that other friends knows. Because that's friends. We are friends. Do you understand that now? So, the third level will not be defined by two directions now. If it's marital relationship, it can be defined to as intimacy. That's when you are becoming intimate with the person. You are beginning to really get close to the person. And that's the semi-final. Sorry, the quarterfinal to marriage. Because from there, you not determine whether the person is qualified to court you or not. So the first level is acquaintance. That's where you just meet someone. And we have a lot of acquaintances. For example, the woman selling food at your junction is just an acquaintance. Hello, good morning, ma. You pass. That's all. There's no friendship there. You build it up, you now decide that sounds like this person has, we have common interest. We are interested in something together. It cannot begin to build into what? Friendship. Or we share the same value. I like this person. This guy is very disciplined. He doesn't miss class. Are you getting it now? Based on that, we cannot become what? Friends. Now, it's no longer my classmate. It's now what? My friend. Male or female. But intimacy is now in the direction of what? Marriage. Do you understand that now? When you are now saying, okay, I think I like that the person tick on my dots. And at this time, the person is now asking for a what? A marital relationship. Okay, problem. Let's see how it goes. And then you are beginning to get to know the person. From there, the person now proposes. The moment a man proposes to a woman, courtship what begins. Is caught. That one, everything has been what? Defined. So it is in that level you can now begin to volunteer a number of things. Because at that level now, you know that this person, we are going straight to what? Marriage. Are you getting it now? So when we are talking about, that's where the balance of what I said. You can't meet someone just today and you are telling the person your past. Is that not foolishness? So there's a level someone should get to for you to trust certain aspects of your life with the person. Am I correct? So then I think that answered the second question. Now, the first question, by the way the woman is designed, her assignment has already been wrapped in what God has called the man to do. Is that okay? So she is to assume God gives her assignments. There are women that are God's assignments. It must be in line. It cannot be opposite. That's how it works. It cannot be opposite. So if the assignment is in line, in fact, a woman's assignment will always complement a man's work. That is how it is. If it is not complementing, chances are that it's not your husband. It's someone else's husband. If you are draggy about the assignment, because there are women who God has dealt with, and that's why as a woman, let me tell you the truth, never be so tied to what you call your assignment, even when you get married, because the first thing you have to do is to submit it. That's how it works. That's why as a woman, whatever you are doing before you become married, you must be able to check how compatible it is with your husband's assignment. If you are a support minister, God will bless you with a mantle that will be a support minister who also has a calling, and you find expression within the man's assignment. What a man is to do for a woman is to create an enabling environment for her to express all her femininity, all her womanhood. And all of it, your first assignment, listen to this, let me tell you, yes, I must say this. Whatever assignment you have as a woman, and I mean when you say assignment, might be that you are a woman, that you want to run school, or you have some things God has laid in your heart, you have passion for kids and all those, listen to this. When it comes to marriage, that assignment becomes secondary. That's why Paul told you that it is better not to what? Marry. If you want the assignment to be primary, I beg you, don't marry. Do it as a single, as a spinster. There are spinsters in the Bible. There are ladies that didn't marry for ministry. Are there not nuns in Catholic? They are not married. They are doing this. They are serving God with their entire, their femininity. Listen, as a woman, let's not bring conflict, because this thing is bringing a lot of problems in the society today, women liberation and all of those. See, if a woman is going to marry, the first principle is you submit your body and everything that body carries to the man. That's why if you marry a man, the man has right to tell you to stop school. Don't come out and start crying foul play. That's because he's the man. He has bought you in that contest. So marriage is not a joke. So you marry, he doesn't allow me to work. He doesn't allow me to do this. You didn't know that before you married him. That's why we are saying that before you marry, you must check compatibility. Will he accept my dreams? Will he allow me to run NGO? Will he allow me to do what God has called me to do? If he's not going to allow me, let me wait for the man. If the man does not come, I leave. If God is the priority, I'll live as a single, as a woman for God, and then leave marriage out. But if you must marry, your dream, your vision becomes what? Secondary. You must submit. He's there. Submit. And anywhere it carries you, that's where you are going. And don't come back and cry foul play. Are we okay? So, most of us as women want to eat our cake and have it. You want to get married and be the man. No, we must do it. It's my vision. It's what God has. No, calm down. God does not violate his principles. And that's why Paul said it. That I advise that you don't even what? Marry. It's there. Media can put it up on the screen. He said, because the unmarried woman is devoted to who? To God. So if you say it's God, it's ministry, yes, stay single. But if you now say it's God, it's ministry, and you want to marry a man that is into what you are doing, so that you know that when you are submitting everything to him, you are gaining it in return. It's a very simple formula. God bless us in Jesus' name. Next. That's a good place to clap, actually. Number two.
My first question is, If marriage is an institution that is instituted by God and that is having a purpose, so can we say those guys that didn't marry, according to what Paul said, that some guys can remain like him and they should remain unmarried. Can we say that they have not, even though they have worked for God, can we say they have not achieved their purpose, the full purpose of God? And secondly, let me share. So as a believer and as a Christian, sir, as a Christian brother, as a believer, what can you say are the reasons why a Christian brother can decide scripturally that he will remain unmarried?
I didn't hear the second question.
I said, as a Christian brother or as a believer, what are the scriptural reasons why a brother can decide not to get married?
Amen. I think most of them have already explained. In fact, those are the basis of what I've been explaining since. But let me explain number one question to you. You see, I did not say that God ordained marriage as the yardstick for fulfilling purpose. I did not say that. It's not the measure of purpose. I said God ordained marriage so that the man can have a companion to fulfill the purpose. So marriage is God's enhancement. Take note of the word enhancement. So this same God creates some men and puts the spirit of singlehood in them. They are eunuchs. They are people who their destiny is not to marry. Do you understand? And that does not make it the normal, because God will always set things as it pleases him. So that somebody did not marry does not mean the person fulfilled purpose. And two, that somebody married does not also mean the person fulfilled purpose. That's why it's a principle. So that's why I said, if now you are going to marry, you now marry according to the what? The principle that governs it. Everything has principle. Now, if you say, I want to be single, I don't want to marry, you must now abide with the principle of what? Singlehood. That's why Paul now said, but it is... Now, there were some people who want to stay single, but then their body was doing their jiring. So Paul is not telling them that instead of your body to be doing you vroom, 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 you see every sister you want to sleep, you see every sister you want, go and marry and have a wife. Are you getting it now? So it's not that marriage is the yardstick of fulfilling purpose, because if you want to say that, does it mean that Paul did not fulfill purpose? Does it mean that Jesus did not fulfill purpose? So marriage is not, you can't say that somebody did not marry, he did not live to the fullness of God's purpose for his life. You cannot say that. But if you are not going to marry, you must marry according to the principle that God has established. Then the second question, what are the reasons? Some people can decide not to marry now. Some people that they can, it's a choice. Like scripture said, there are eunuchs that are made by God, then there are eunuchs that are made of men. So people can decide not to marry. For example, the owner of Gospel City, Prof, he's not married. He did not marry. Paul did not marry. And so people can decide that women stress too much. It's better to do ministry and not have a wife. There are some people that decide. So they have their decision. And some is covenant. They decide that they want to consecrate their virginity to God and die as a virgin. And so it's their decision. I can't be the one to determine that, Abby. So you can decide not to marry. But we are saying that if you choose to marry, you must follow the principles that comes with it. So see what he said. His interests are what? Divided. 1 Corinthians 7:33. He said, but a married man has to think about his what? Did you see that? And how to please... Next verse. His interests are what? You saw when I started, I said the principle is common what? Because he must serve the interest of the wife and serve the interest of God too. Divided. In the same way, a woman is no longer what? A woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be what? devoted to the Lord and be holy in what? In body and spirit. But a married woman has to what? Paul explained that well, though. Next question. Claire.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir, for the privilege. So my question is coming from the rule of communication and then the rule of compatibility. So as a man whose love language is intellectual with a woman whose love language is physical and financial, how can a compromise be reached based on the rule of compatibility?
Now, Natu, go decide that one.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
And number two.
Wait. Me will finish that one. Now, that is you. You that is intellectual. There are a lot of women that are also intellectual. So it is you that we, Bible say, he that finds. Do you get that now? So it is, don't stress the woman, no. Person when we say not the intellectual, you won't convert her into algorithm. You kill her life. You know, women, we do that a lot. You want to, okay, you know you are the type that is highly intellectual, and then you want to marry a woman that struggle to have upper credit in Federal University of Technology, Federal Polytechnic offer. I mean, struggle. You know the struggle when she say get the upper credit. So you can't marry that kind of woman and you won't convert her to a student. It's not going to be possible. So it means that I will be the one that will search for. This is my love language. I like my wife to sound like Windows 11. So I will look for every Windows girl, every computer girl compatibility now. I will take time. I know where they are. I'll go and look for them there. And first rule is that they must be distinction students. So that's the first rule. Just look for a woman.
Thank you, sir. The second one is it only a woman who is meant to adapt to the man, or is it vice versa?
That's where compromise comes in. It's vice versa because we human beings are adaptable beings. We have a system of adaptability in us, but an enabling environment must be created for the adaptability. Adaptability is not replacement, it's not substitutionalism. What I mean is this: you don't marry a partner and want to change the person. No, that's one mistake people make. My partner will change, he will change. Are you time changer? Are you Holy Spirit? It's not going to change. Your partner is not going to change. Your partner will only evolve. And his involvement will be determined by his interests, his values, and his visions. He can't change because you say you want him to change. Just like as I am now, my wife don't like football. Call me Miss Ma, stop to the washboard. Okay, I go stop. Maybe when Arsenal win league. And they are winning league very soon. Arsenal is winning the league. I don't tell now. Abby, I will stop. You see, we must not play God in people's life. That's why communication. Relationship is simple. Where most of us make mistake is that we fall in love before we find out these things. And it's wrong. You find out this thing. You keep love, keep it. Guard it all. Guard it like the upper room. Don't betray your love all around. When you now find these things, that's what we now direct where your love should be sent towards. I'm sure I've answered your question. God bless you. Let's take this. I think there's one here. Okay, while I get the next question, he said, if all of these principles positions a man to select a right woman, how then does the place of seeking God's face for a life partner comes to play? The truth is this: I love this question because most people see marriage as, in fact, I've had someone who said three people were asking her out, so she took them to a mountain to pray so that God would choose which one is their husband. You see, why do we have to involve God? We involve God because we don't know what the future holds. We can only predict, we cannot determine. So in all of these principles we have established, God still knows best. So that's why after everything, we must go to him in what? In prayers. But when we have prayed, we will not just say, God, as we are praying, God just release in your heart, your husband's name is Philip. He must come from Philippians. It's now God does that exceptionally. Like we talked about exception, about people who should know. There are exceptions. But we are safe with the principles. Because ultimately, why we need the principles, ultimately, we will be the one to walk to bring the result. So, and two cannot walk except they agree. And God cannot violate your agreement. So, he's only helping you so that you don't make mistakes. And also helping the frailty in you. You know, even as a human, we are weak. It's just like a lady sometimes. We pray for the kind of man. And then the kind of man will come, she'll be complaining. That's one thing about women. They can fast and pray for the ideal man. But when the man comes, they'll be complaining. And you are wondering, that's we humans. You don't blame them. We humans, we are unstable. That's why this morning you can be very happy. In the evening, you are sad. That's we humans. But the principles will now help us to regulate our instability. So that's why we put it to God in prayers. I believe I've answered your questions. We have last question so that we can close the service.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the question I had, what if the person that you guys share common interest and same value? What if you guys know the both of you don't have the same medical requirements? Like medical requirements.
Medical requirements.
For example, 2AS can't get married. And two SS can't get married. But he later found that at the wrong time, like when you guys are already in courtship, planning marriage, that's when you find that. You cannot just go to somebody that I want to date you. So what's your medical, what's your blood group?
Let's celebrate God for her. So let me stand. Amen. You see, one thing you must understand is that life runs on principles. And that's why under the principle of compatibility, I did not go into deep depth because I wanted to take questions. There are a lot of things that comes there. Medical compatibility is also very important. Very important, because God will not bless what will cause you stress. You didn't hear what I just said? God will never bless something that will cause you stress. If you have ever raised a sickler before, you will never in your life want to give birth to a sickler. Never in your life want to give birth to a sickler. So it's a very simple something. If you know you are AS, that's why relationship is in what? Levels. It's in levels. At the point where you meet somebody in church today, okay, just imagine now we say during celebration service, let's meet people, and then you meet Abraham and you're asking Abraham, are you SS? It sounds stupid. Yeah. So we shouldn't put the cart before the horse. We should relate with people. But when the relationship is not graduating to level 3, at that point in time, you will just know that, oh, medically, oh, this might not work. So all the fire that is trying to burn before, you put fire, you put water, and just quench it. That's it. So that's why I don't need to be in an intimate relationship with you before I should even know your genotype. At friendship level, just as friends, we talk randomly, we say a lot of things. Do you understand? And the fact remains that the moment you already find out that you are AS, you must be very, very what? In fact, you are the one that should even regulate your love more. Just be cagey, or just be managing yourself so that you don't go and fall in love with someone that you start crying about because both of you can't come together. And even that, there are even also exceptions. There are AS that married SS that they don't give birth to any SS. Some just give birth to first two children and they saw that they are AS, they just close chapter. But it's not ideal. That's why before you formalize marriage, there are a lot of tests. It's not everywhere else only. there's the resource factor issue too. Huh? Resource factor is also there. You see some people, after they give birth, the child will just die. After they give birth, the child will just die. After they give birth, the child will just die. Because of their resource factor. Let's be on our feet. Let's celebrate the Lord. Let's go ahead and appreciate God for the principles He has taught us. All of the principles are to guide us. Is that okay? They are to guide us. They are to protect us. They are to make us not to make mistakes. So wherever you are, please lift up your hands and thank God for all the principles He has made available, and for the fact that He made it possible for you to know them even at the service today. Can we appreciate the Lord? Are we giving God thanks? I said give thanks. It means that you should use your lips to thank Him. Thank Him because by your help, I know I won't make mistakes. By your help, I know I won't make mistakes. By your help, I know I won't make mistakes. By your help, I know I won't make mistakes. I won't make mistakes. By your help, I won't make mistakes. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I just remembered now, someone wrote a question and said, what's my opinion about a woman, a man marrying an older woman and a woman marrying a younger man? You see, we have a lot of explanations, a lot of exceptions to the principles of marriage. Now, there are people that believes or thinks that a woman can only submit to someone that is older. That's what most people believe. And there are people that believe that a woman will control a man that is younger. But the truth is this: responsibility and submission has nothing to do with age most times. People advise that, okay, because of aging and a lot of things, it's better. In fact, I had a friend who used to tell me that the husband must be 10 years older than her, because she believes that when a woman marries, the woman will be getting old. You see, the challenge with most of us is that when we make certain statements, we don't know the implication. So I now had a conversation with someone. I said, do you know that as a woman, when your husband starts getting old, you too might be very young and not find him attractive again? Have you thought about it? So what is good for one may not be good for the other. So that's why there are no fast rules. You know, when you are married and you have gotten to an age, you will see a lot of experiences. And when it comes to the issue of submission, comes to the issue of support, comes to the issue of sacrifices, most times it's not about age. It's about maturity. I had a young man that used to tell me then that the level of maturity he has, he doesn't think he can marry a woman that is younger. It's just like, well, when Charles is talking about intellectual, there are some women that their intellectualism come with their age. There are some that comes with not their age. There are some young people that are highly intellectual, and there are some old people that are very highly intellectual. And the truth is that when you have the principles in place and you find all of these principles working around somebody that you are older than as a woman, and truly the person likes you, what do you do? And the man is ready, in spite of the age difference, to marry you. Are you going to say because of the age you are not going to marry? Are there no marriages that the husband is far older than the wife and they have an issue with submission? So there are no, my opinion does not count. It's the principles that what? That counts. If you find the principles and you as a woman, you believe strongly that with all the training you have received, you are ready to submit, there is no problem. And if you believe that as a man, you are ready to carry her, there is no issue. Because even the scripture already said you should not even marry. Uh-huh. So you not decide to marry. You decide who you can what? Marry. Who you are? Who you can cope with? Who you can submit to? Who you can support? Who you can serve? Are we together? It's just like I went for a meeting and somebody was talking about a divorce, remarry, single parents. And somebody told me about some structural systems some churches put in place about single mothers, the mothers who gave birth before they got married. And these things are not scriptural. It is unbiblical for you to violate a woman's ministry because while she was in the world, she happened to have a child without marrying a man. And you are using that as a basis to remove her from every point where she can serve God. It is not biblical. Because before Apostle Paul became an apostle, he killed Stephen. And God did not count it against him. So there are a lot of things we did while we were in the world we didn't know. So are you trying to tell me that every man who has a child outside wedlock should not marry again? Or cannot be a pastor? And whereas we have pastors that this one is not that the wife is dead. The wife is alive. They decided to break the marriage. He now went to marry another person. And he's still a pastor. And yet we are victimizing those that are women or men who give birth while they were growing up. These ones, are they not even worse? Eh? They are worse. I mean, you are a pastor, your wife is alive, you are alive, you had issue, you separated, maybe the wife went to UK, you are in Nigeria, you married another woman, and you are still preaching. And yet, you are saying that a woman who gave birth to a child when she was in secondary school can never or should never be a pastor because she gave birth out of wedlock. Two of you committed more problems. So, we must understand that the way God views our decisions, He respects our commitment to do His will. As far as it is a decision to do His will, He will not violate your choice. So leave all of those traditions and all of those religion lies and chains that people try to put around us. Prayerfully seek God for a partner. And if God is giving you the go ahead and you know the principles to make it work and you are ready, don't allow anything be a discouragement. Not even tribe. Not even tribe. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Lift your hands and say, Lord, by your grace and by your spirit, I will make the right decisions. And when I make the decision, I will commit to making the marriage work. I will not be a liability to my partner. I will not be a source of stress to my partner. I will not be a source of stagnation to my partner. I will be every blessing to my partner. Go ahead and begin to declare.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovemercy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovemercychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.